Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm opting it. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I want to win here. And we did that this year, and I want to do it again.
So there's your lead story. David Price opts in. What does that mean for Chris Sale next year? What does it mean for the roster going forward? What does it mean for guys like Eovaldi and Kelly this year? All right, so that's our lead story, our prime area of conversation. But we mix in a little Celtics. We're going to do some Bruins Minute this hour. We also do some Patriots as we go forward. Paul Prillo from Patriots Football Weekly is due in at 4 o'clock. So we'll get some Sunshine Day in at 4 o'clock. One of the things we'll be hitting on is the inaction at the deadline. You calmed down yet, Murray? You still upset about the Patriots' inaction at the deadline?
I'm still pretty pissed. Yeah, and especially when you see what they have in terms of picks for next year, that they didn't try to do anything, that they weren't in on someone like Golden Tate. And my continued concern about Rob Gronkowski, I saw Mike Giardi, NFL Network, tweet this too, and now I'm like even more freaked out about it. You realize he hasn't had a touchdown since week one against Houston?
Yes.
Like, he doesn't look like himself anyway, but that's not good. And, like, is he going to last the season? It really doesn't feel that way right now. They're asking a lot of James White, who I think is the second most important player offensively outside of Tom Brady. You can't keep putting him in the line of fire the way that they're doing it and expect him to last the season. I just think that's a big ask there. So I wish that they did something else offensively, or really in terms of depth at linebacker, that they stood pat. It's still, I'm bothered by it.
Gronk has one touchdown. They were in the red zone. How many times this past week?
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
And what are his career numbers against Buffalo?
Right.
He kills them. He absolutely kills Buffalo. So, like, the fact that he wasn't able to score this past week, and I say wasn't able to, like, whatever, there might have been a million factors there. Like, that is rare. He usually lights that team up.
You started to tap into this yesterday, and I just wonder, I went back and thought about it, and, you know, this narrative that we pounded the ever-loving crap out of in the offseason about how, you know, it does sort of relate to the drama there internally and the power struggle, and it really felt like in the offseason, Belichick wasn't eager to do Tom Brady any favors with his roster. Gets rid of his left tackle. You know, and some of these moves turned out to be good moves, right? But I'm just telling you, the things that we were talking about in the offseason. He gets rid of the left tackle, gets rid of one of his better receivers in Brandon Cooks, gets rid of his key member in his circle of trust in Danny Amendola. You know, lets all these guys go and doesn't really replace them. And, you know, some fans think he's submarining the season or purposely sticking it to Brady. I never went that far. But certainly you sort of looked at it and said, in terms of roster construction, Bill Belichick didn't appear eager to surround Tom Brady and do Tom Brady any favors. I think that's fair to say. And now you get to the trade deadline, and this is the first year in 5 years they didn't do anything? Like, every year they're good for something. Like, it's a time since 14 they didn't do a move?
So I saw Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston tweet that yesterday, and he had to be corrected because they actually, that was the, I think, Jonathan Casillas, Akeem Hicks year. They made moves in 2014, so it's been a long time, I know that, since they have done nothing at the trade deadline, even if it's just something, to get some depth on the roster.
I mean, even on defense. So it's like almost every year in recently, they're adding something, and this is the year they don't? So do you tie it into how the roster was built in the offseason and the whole approach of how they're building the team?
I mean, to me, what they've done is they're rebuilding. Like, I don't know any other way to say it. Restart, reload, use Larry Lucchino's words if you want. But it feels to me like they're not going out of their way to win this year and maximize the year with Brady because they are preparing for a transition to a different kind of team. And whether that means McDaniels is coaching it, Brady's quarterbacking it or not, or whatever, it feels to me like they have clearly made an effort to bring along some of the young guys and not expend any resources long term.
So Golden Tate would have cost you a third-round pick. You have 3 third-round picks next year. You have yours, and you're
compensatory, but you can now trade those.
Yeah, it's not official that you'll have the compensatory, but based on the calculations and how it looks, is you're going to have 3 third-round picks next year. And the compensatories you can now trade. You used to not be able to trade them. So you're going to have 3 third-round picks. Golden Tate's up at the end of the year. So even if he's a flight risk, okay, you'd be renting him. His salary is $6 million, but now that it's prorated, you'd be on the hook for $3-something million with just over half the season left. So three-ish million bucks and a late third-round pick, Would that have gotten you Golden Tate? And is that worth it with you on the cusp of another Super Bowl for Tom Brady, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah, you have to maximize the Brady window, which is, and to even hear you say that, Maz, and this is what it seems like they're doing. They're stockpiling to rebuild. You can't rebuild now. No, the time is now. You have to build around Brady. You decided on Brady. You moved on from Garoppolo. You build around Brady. You're not going to build around Brady? Then what the F are you doing?
So, I mean, I just think that was a reasonable cost there for a guy like Tate. On Demaryius Thomas, I wanted nothing to do with the guy.
Same.
I can't stand the player. So I'm not. I'm glad they didn't bring him in. But they did not bring him in because they don't like him. They didn't bring him in because of the money. They were in on him. They were prepared to trade for him. But they didn't like his contract. So they wanted Denver to eat some money. And that was the hang-up. So I don't want Demaryius Thomas for football reasons. They didn't want him for financial reasons. So that I look at and say, well, you wanted the guy. You think you'd help the team. It would certainly help Brady. It would certainly help your offense. And you didn't do it because, again, a couple million bucks? If you're Tom Brady and you're looking at it, you're saying, I mean, you know, this does sort of go back to the offseason. Like, they are doing Brady no favors this year.
No, and on top of it all, and Brady's sitting there going, and I'm playing for incentives? Like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, and he's way behind on all of them.
So you won't get me help because ultimately it's going to cost us a couple more million. And how much should I save you by taking incentives? Because I'm not going to hit him anyway. Like, you know, so it's a, look, it's that's a hard one to accept that it's a financial decision. So they acknowledge the need on the field, but they don't want to extend for it. Like, that one's hard to take. Like, because clearly they look at it and say, no, we could use the player. And they think that the player could have enough of an impact that it would matter now, but they don't want to take on the contract.
Again, this and that goes back to Brady.
Yeah, and that if you're Brady, I don't know how you're not frustrated by that. Like, you look at it and say, you got to be kidding me. Like, after all this is what the hell am I doing here? I came back for this? Like, I came back because I wanted a win, not just because I wanted a play. I want to win. What good does it do if we're going to go 12-4 and get bounced in the first round?
So this does tie to the offseason a little bit. I'm not going that far. I mean, who knows? I mean, this happens all the time.
It's hyperbole.
They do something or don't do something, and we think they're screwed for doing it. And the next thing you know, we're all at the Super Bowl. So, like, that happens all the time. It could happen again. I'm not telling you, like, they're doomed. I'm just saying, from a roster-building standpoint, from day one, they haven't done a thing extra for Tom Brady. They haven't done a thing extra. And if anything, they've just peeled things away. Even this last week was weird. They lose their running back, and they have another running back on the roster, but they don't even give it to him. They hand it to some stupid receiver. And I'm not calling Cordell Patterson stupid. I'm just saying, you know,
trick.
The whole idea was
stupid to make your receiver a running back when you have another running back on the roster. The idea was stupid, and even that is sort of like, what are you doing? So anyway,
as much as I was for the Josh Gordon move, and I think he's been a help here, but they're forcing it to him too much. And can someone explain to me what the hell's happened to Philip Dorsett, whose snaps have, you know, been drastically reduced since the game in Miami? And apparently they were trying to trade him yesterday too. Jeff Isle, The Athletic, said that Houston had made a call and then that fell apart. So why is he all of a sudden have nothing to do with the offense?
So that's sort of our Patriots take. Real Sunday night, Aaron Rodgers, Packers in town. You looking forward to this one?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
should be great, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, just for the entertainment value of Rodgers, that alone, I think the Patriots will win the game because I think Green Bay's defense blows and sucks on top of it. But the Rodgers theatrical aspect, how can you not look forward to it?
It's only the second time we'll get it, Brady v. Rodgers.
It's stupid we only ever got this once.
It's only the second time. Can you imagine?
And this was like a caller yesterday. It's dumb that we only got the Seahawks three times during the Legion of Boom era. That was, and all those three games were amazing. Like, yeah. I expect this game to be awesome. It should be with these two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rodgers is going to show. I can't say anything for his team or his coach. And I like the Pats, too. But, you know, Rodgers has a knack for these games, and frankly, the team kind of does too. The Packers do. They went into L.A. yesterday on Sunday and should have won that game, or at least.
I remember you saying before that last week, they're going to have a good game against L.A. They get up for better competition.
It's just who they are. It shows you how undisciplined they are, and how undisciplined and how poorly coached and how sloppy they are. That they'll lose to Detroit, they'll almost lose at home to San Francisco, and then go in the next week and almost beat the best team in football undefeated and go toe to toe with them. It's just so them. So I expect them to show this week, which means we'll get a game and we'll have Rodgers and Brady with the ball in their hands in the fourth quarter. Like, that's good stuff.
No question.
So all that's on the table with our Red Sox conversation. I promise. Right back to you after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What was that dugout like? Chris Sale strikes out Manny Machado. You've just won the World Series. Can you remember that moment? Is it a blur? What were those next few minutes like?
I remember. I do remember. So I went to the umpire to tell him that Chris was coming in and Jackie was going to play defense. And then I looked to right field and I see Chris coming in and the rest of the bullpen giving him a standing ovation. And you don't see that often. And just looking over there, I'm like, hey, man, we did it right. You know, they do believe in each other. They do care about each other. And then slider to Turner, swing and a miss, blocked by Christian, one out. 3-2 slider to Kike. He didn't recognize it. It seems like it. Tried to foul it off. Strike two. And then the guy we've been waiting the whole season. And I turn around to Ron Renegade. I say, we've been waiting for this guy the whole season. Fastball, 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 slider. And now we're the world champs. Amazing. Amazing.
This one, I told you yesterday, one of the great endearing images for me from the World Series will be that last strike. So that one, whenever you want to represent the 2018 World Championship, whenever you want to represent who won the World Series that year, whenever you want to represent the Red Sox winning another title, the image will be Manny Machado on his knees. Oh, I love it. Swinging and misses and on his knees. So fitting. That's one of the true bad guys in baseball. And I didn't feel as strongly about that until this postseason. I think he handled himself so poorly this offseason. He was such a little bitch this offseason that that's exactly what he deserves. He deserves to go down in history as the swing and miss to lose the World Series on your knees. I love it.
So we were talking about Mookie earlier, right? You want to know what Machado's career numbers in the postseason are now?
What are they?
Because he's had 99 career plate appearances too. Same as Mookie.
Wow.
Okay, same as Mookie. 213 average. 650 OPS, 24 strikeouts and 19 hits. He has sucked. Boy, does that smell.
And it's
wow.
It's not going to impact his earning power one iota.
He's going to make $30 million a year this offseason.
At least.
Yeah, he's going to get it. He's going to get it because, again, the regular season numbers are off the charts. He'll get it, but it does make you look at him a little differently. You know, even them, like, they hate him too, clearly.
They should.
And Cora's sitting there going, we've been waiting for this guy all year. Ooh, what a kick in the nuts that is if you're Machado.
Tremendous. Goes down in history, on his knees to end the World Series. Can't take that back. Can't get that back. That's there forever. Oh, deserving. Christian in Foxborough, back with your phones. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, Felger? Felger, so you said Chris Sale, he's going to rip it up. He's going to tear it up next year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, so do you mean a shoulder? I mean, because honestly, can we look at his postseason numbers? I don't even think he's pitched in his Red Sox uniform 6-plus innings. I mean, David Price has done it multiple times this year, and I don't know. I just think if we're going one pitcher, maybe Price, because are we too crazy to think that David Price is a better postseason pitcher than not Chris Sale? I'll hang up, guys. Thanks.
I mean, as scary as it is, he has a better track record? Like, is that it? Did I even just say that? Who's got a better postseason track record, David Price or Chris Sale?
Price.
Yeah, Price.
I mean,
he does now.
What?
Like, I mean, it's nuts, but he does. You know, Sales is obviously small, but his career numbers are 1-2, 5.76.
Next year, providing you get to, I'm sorry.
1-2, 5.76.
That's Chris Sale.
Yeah.
How many starts?
7 appearances, 4 starts. Because it includes 3 relief outings.
Wow.
So I bet you the numbers are as a starter are even worse.
If you're going track record, I'm not arguing with you. The results are the results. I can't argue the past. I'm predicting the future. He's going to be balls to the wall next year. He's going to be great. He's going to be great. And if you get into the postseason, he'll be good in the postseason too. That's just a prediction. Because it's his free agent year, and it's his one and only. He blew it the last time he signed a contract. He blew it. He left tens of millions of dollars on the table. And he's coming to get it back this year. And he's going to get it.
I'm worried about Sale. Health-wise, I'm worried about him. Again, to me, there's like a huge pattern here. In fact,
I'm not worried next year.
They tried to manage him this year, and it got worse. It didn't get better. It got worse. He couldn't pitch in August or September.
It's funny when you've got like a $200 million contract staring you in the face that you tend to stay healthier. It just works out that way.
Huh.
I don't know. It's like coincidence.
You want to clear your throat when you say that?
No. I'm not. You know, I don't have anything. I'm just telling you. I've seen it a million times. All of a sudden, the guy's got a track record of fading or not being healthy, and then he's in his free agent year, and he's healthy. Interesting. I mean, Nathan Eovaldi has had more surgeries than he has, you know, good seasons in his career. He's had two Tommy Johns, and now he's a free agent, and he's literally the bionic man. He's going out there and throwing six relief innings.
97 pitches.
97 pitches, and the last one was as hard as the first after pitching each of the previous two games. Huh, interesting. Is he up for Yep, he's a free agent. It's just funny how that happens. And I'm predicting it for Chris Sale next year. Chip in Texas. Go, Chip.
Yeah, hi. Really, really appreciate the show. Glad you let in with game three. I'm curious, with a situation like that, why was Drew Pomerantz on the roster for the World Series if he didn't even make it into that game?
Excellent question.
Can anybody answer that?
Yeah, excellent question. I mean, to me, and look, or for that matter, not only he didn't make it into the game, he didn't make it into the next one. He didn't make it into the series.
I don't think he pitched once in the series.
He didn't. So this is one of those where, again, I look back at game three and say, why would you put this guy on the roster if you weren't going to use him in an 18-inning game? You were willing to use your game four starter before him because you deemed the game winnable and you didn't trust him in a winnable situation.
So I thought Pomerantz was really going to be used in a real situation because, again, that Dodgers lineup, they're so matchup dependent that you want those lefties on the hill to bring in those crappy righty hitters, and you just throw as many lefties as you can at the problem because you get a weaker Dodgers lineup out of it. And so I thought Pomerantz was going to be used.
I mean, it just tells you how little they thought of him, right? How little they really thought of him, that he didn't get into any of those games. Zero. First of all, he wasn't on the roster in the first two rounds. Then they added him. They had the longest World Series game in history in which they asked a starter from the next day to go the longest relief outing in World Series history, and Pomeranz is sitting there with a fresh arm because he hasn't pitched in a month. No thanks, Drew. We'd rather lose with Eovaldi than win with you. Like, really, think of that.
Oh, no. There was a statement. Steven Billerica. Hi, Steve.
Hey, can I switch my take to the Patriots? I don't think it's a surprise that this team needs 40 points to score to win. I think that's the way it's constructed. You know, I think Brady has overachieved at 41 years old, actually meaning that. And I feel that the first team to 40 points this Sunday night is going to need 40 points to win. First team to 40.
Okay. The Packers are not as explosive as Kansas City. I'm just telling you this. It's just sort of the way they're, like, they don't know huddle. They don't hurry up. They don't, like, they just, they're kind of old-fashioned. I mean, and it's McCarthy, and it's a problem. I'm not telling you this is a good thing. I'm just telling you, they're not, he wants to run the ball and establish the run, you know, sometimes, which is, like, so patently stupid. I can't even begin to tell you.
Like when they tried to run it out of the end zone and got a safety against them in that game last week?
No. Oh, yeah, that one. Right, yeah. Exactly. They'll be on their own half-yard line. Instead of giving it to your best player who can, he'll figure it out.
Pick up 5 yards at least.
No, hand it off. Because I'm going to roll away out of here. They're idiots. So the Packers are not, they're not Kansas City. They're not like that. So I don't know if that applies this week. But do you have faith with the way some of Brady's weapons look and the thing looks that they can be that team that scores 40 every night?
No.
Long term, no.
Me neither.
No, but the Bills game doesn't deter me. I feel like the Patriots half-assed it in the Bills game.
They did.
And the other thing is, Buffalo probably has a better defense in Green Bay. The game's here. Like, I think you're going to, and if you look at the Patriots offense the last 3 or 4 weeks before that, since Edelman got back, they've been pretty good. So I don't know if they're what they've been in the past, but against Green Bay, I think they'll get more than 35 or 35 plus. And I don't know if Green Bay can, you know, to me, this feels like a 38-27 game, something like that. You know, I think it's a knockoff of the Kansas City game, but I think, you know, Rodgers is going to score on the Patriots, too.
Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, coming in at 4. Quick Bruins minute for you right after Breeze update. Again, guess who opted in? Guess who's around here for at least another 4 years? Details right now.
Felger and Maz. At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Over the line, here's Marchand to the far circle, pulled around a check, trying to go wrap around. He scores! Brad Marchand muscled free from a check in the far circle, darted back in the net, darling out of position, and Marchand shook off a check and dumped it inside the near post. 3-2 Bruins.
Okay, here's your Bruins Minute. They win last night in Carolina 3-2. Getting goals from David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, and Brad Marchand.
Sounds familiar.
The perfection line.
The erection line.
Yeah.
So here we are again. I watched a lot of that game last night. And boy, that line is something else. Those three guys are just, I mean, special. I don't need to tell you this. I mean, you watch them. It's like you watch the whole game and nothing really stands out. Like sort of two kind of mediocre teams playing at the same pace back and forth. I thought Carolina controlled more of that game than you, but nothing really stands out from an individual standpoint. And then those guys get on the ice and it's like, wow. It's like they're playing a different game. And
you're talking about teamwork. How about the first goal Marchand scored? Bergeron back checks, steals the puck from the guy, turns around, sends it to Marchand, who goes in and beats the goalie.
It's just a different level.
Oh my gosh, ridiculous.
So those three guys are just stand out. It's stupid how good they're playing. It's stupid how well they play together. And it's stupid how they've carried the team. So all three goals last night came from those guys. The Bruins have scored 37 goals this year. 37 goals. 22 came from them. They have 22 of the 37 goals. Well over 50% of their scoring. So, like, that says two things. Those guys are incredible. They're incredible. But I don't know if that makes you a good team. And I don't, it's not sustainable in the playoffs. It's probably not sustainable for the entirety of the regular season. I mean, you can get away with it in the regular season. You can. Bad opponents, off nights, coaches don't match up with good defensemen as diligently as they do in the postseason. So you can have a line carry you in the regular season. We've seen it. In the postseason, it doesn't fly. It doesn't, unless you're Gretzky, Curry, and I'm sorry, these guys are good, but they're not that. So, and they were shut down last year. You can shut them down like you can shut down any line. I still don't know what else they have on the team. I mean, I've watched the whole, other than those three guys, I just watching the game. It's like, no, nothing stands out. Maybe Krejci every third or fourth shift does a little something. And I like DeBrusque, and like I've told you before, like they've got a little something there. But other than that, it's just, I don't see anything.
So I caught the post game last night on the Bruins, and didn't they actually shake up the lines? Didn't Pastrnak end up with Krejci?
Yep, he moved him down.
How'd it look?
Good. Better.
I'd leave it that way.
Better. And so that's, and I agree. It's like, guys, you can't live like this through the postseason. You've got to get a second line. You've got to balance out your team. So start trying. Start trying. And I don't know, maybe if they're just waiting to get comfortably ahead of the playoff line or get comfortably into the postseason or, you know, because usually, as we like to say, at U.S. Thanksgiving, if you're above the line, you stay above the line. If you're below it, you're below it. And so it's sort of important to get off to a good start. Maybe they're doing that. You know, they're solidifying their standing. And then we'll start mixing and matching. But they just, as good as it is and as entertaining as it is to watch those guys, I mean, it's just absurd. It's so good. It's like that can't, you can't live like that.
And Pastrnak, I think he's tied for the league lead in goals, isn't he? He's got 11 goals, for the league lead.
Whatever it is.
Pasta.
They've scored 37. Those three, the erection line, have 22.
Love the erection line.
As a team, they have 96 points, meaning, you know, goals, assists. The erection line has 40 of them. It's like, who else can play? Can anyone else play? And there's guys that feel like, you know, much as I love him, my Dexter homie, Ryan Donato, I'm sorry. You know, he's getting first power play time. He's just, you know, not ready or took a step back or off to a slow start or something. I don't know. But I don't see it. You know, I don't see it right now. And this isn't a prediction for the future before we start making commercials. I'm just telling you know, what I've seen in the small sample I've seen. I think they should put DeBrusque on that. They put Ryan Donato as like the net foot presence on that first power play. It's like, no. DeBrusque should be there. He scored that beautiful goal off the Krejci pass the game before.
Oh, he was camped right in front against Philly.
Right, like that's the guy they should have on the first power play, camped in front of the net. He's just a little sturdier.
Yeah, Donato's not big enough.
Right, and I don't
push him right out of there.
I don't feel that. I mean, Donato, God bless his heart, he'll stick his nose right in there. But there's just, I don't notice Donato. I don't notice Bjork like I should. I just don't notice the rest of the team. I don't notice Heinen. I never notice Heinen. It's like, what else do you got? Do you got anything else? So that's one item. The other item is, of course, the goaltending. And Halak was freaking awesome last night.
I mean, what do you have, 42 saves?
He was outstanding.
They got to keep playing them. I mean, look at the slate that's coming up. They have some tough games, including Nashville on Saturday night. Most wins in hockey. He has to start them on Saturday.
Has to.
Got, you know, Toronto, a couple of games after that. Got to be a net for that one. Just ride the hot hand at the very least. Even if you don't want to have the Rask or Halak argument, ride the hot hand right now.
I mean, goaltending was a big reason they won that game last night. The other guy let up three softies.
I don't know who the first star was, but it should have been Halak or the Erection Crew. I don't know. But it's, I mean, that's the story. This is the story of your season. That line, and once again, a backup goaltender saved your season, and a coach who's willing to go to him. I mean, that's been a huge, last year, they may circle the drain if they don't bench Tuukka Rask for those four or five games and go to Hudobin. This year, it's not quite as dramatic, but they've won every game. They've gotten points in every single game with Halak. With Rask, they're 500. So he's been the difference. Same team, same defense, same scheme. So, I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, there's a major story there. I mean, that's a major story. Like, you know, you're talking about a goalie you're paying $7 million a year to, and the coach is already on record as saying, you know, we'll see how it goes here in the early part of the year, but we didn't limit. When we brought him here, we told him we weren't going to limit the number of games he played, what they said to Halak. And as the year goes on, if someone separates and wins the job, he'll win the job. Like, they put Rask on alert. They basically told him, get your ass in gear. We're going to play the other guy. Like, that is, to me, and look, we've been distracted. There's been a lot going on. That's a major flipping story.
Well, there's just so much. I mean, yes, it is. It is. But that doesn't mean Halak's your, you know, goaltender in the first round of the playoffs. There's a long way to go there. Halak can play himself out of it because he's not, you know, he's not an elite guy in the league. I just think Rask is so mediocre and has been so dang mediocre for so long. It's like the team's been just as good, if not better, than the other goalie for now going on two straight years. Like, I don't know how much more you need to see that Rask has just sort of faded, or maybe it's the contract. He got fat and complacent and just isn't the same guy and isn't as motivated as he wants. I don't know what it is, but he's been just a guy for a while now. He's been just a guy. He's been fine. He's been good, not great, nothing special. You can get the same production out of the other guy. And in fact, it seems like the other guy is sparking the team. That the other guy, you get better results out of the other guy.
I just don't think they're giving him the leash they've given him in the past. I think they've made that clear. And that to me is a statement. Like in the past, it felt to me like they were giving him leash. Like, no, we're going to let him find his game and he's our guy and blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't feel like they're saying that.
I mean, Halak won you that game. I don't know what the shots were. It was like 44 shots on net by them, right?
It was like 44 to 31 or something.
So they totally outshot you. They controlled most of the play, I want to say. In the second period, you're on a power play, and you give up these back-to-back breakaways where, again, you're up, you're down 1-0. You're on the power play, but Carolina has two shorties going the other way, and Halak stones them both times, and that just totally turned the game and totally steadied the game for the Bruins, and it's just those two saves alone. But he was there all night. So, I mean, the goaltending thing is sort of obvious. I've been barking about it for years. There's really not any reason. There's only one group of people, again, who you even need to have this conversation with, and that's those are who cover the team. Everybody else with eyes can, I mean, I'm not giving you hot takes. It's just Rask has been just a guy for a couple of years. He hasn't been anything special. The backups have played just as well, if not better than him, for now two straight years. Those are facts. Those are not opinions. And the only one who'll fight you on that are the guys that cover the team for some reason. They're dug in on it. So it's not even like much of a talking point for me anymore. A bigger issue for me is the team. What else do you got other than the Erection Crew? What else do you got? What else is there?
You got me, man, but I'm okay with the Erection line.
They are good, man.
That play last night with Bergeron, back-checked, picked the guy, spun around in his own face-off circle, fired at the length of the ice to Marchand, who was waiting at the blue line.
And then he picks a corner coming in down the wing. I mean,
it was ridiculous. Yeah. It was men against boys. And of course, as the Erection line is wont to do, Marchand got good wood on it.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. We'll take your phones. We'll give you your thoughts on, Maz has some parade thoughts for you. You don't want to miss these. Parades are very special to Maz.
Oh, yeah. No, I love them.
And I have a giveaway, something for you for free to help dull the pain right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, my God. That is not the cutest thing you've ever seen.
You know, this is why don't like the parades. It just puts everybody in a you know, this whole dynamic that shouldn't exist. Don't put them up in front of a crowd and let them speak. I really believe that, though. This is why, you know what the parade is for? The parade is for people like my mother. God, you know, God bless her, I love her. But she's into the parade. Like, oh, look, there they are, they won, yay!
So when Tom Werner starts up his chant to your mom, she doesn't know the difference. She's chanting. She's like,
Let's go Red Sox.
She's the one person chanting in the background.
Well, to her, it probably sounded good because she's doing it in broken English. Seriously, though, this is why I could not give two giant poops about the parade. I hate the parades. I hate them. Cannot stand them. They do nothing for me. Like, oh, there they are. Look. Look. Hey, look, there's Napoli. Hi. It means, no, I'm not kidding. I hate that. I hate it.
Could you not at least recognize that the parade on Saturday is a tremendous drinking, partying day?
I don't think a parade's a great drinking day. I mean, because a lot of people bring their kids. It's like a family thing.
Just so Tom Werner is there to put me in the proper mood and get me all fired up for that parade.
Let's go Red Sox.
Could not give two giant poops about the parade.
No Red Sox.
I said this a while ago. We've gotten to a point where we can really come up to any topic and be able to go back into the archives and have a squeaky Maz for you. It's really true. There's every topic.
Yeah, they're like Trump's tweets that way. There's
ooh,
something for everything.
Oh, look. Look. Hey, look, there's Napoli. Hi. Seriously.
So that was 5 years ago. Do you still feel the same way?
I totally feel the same way. I didn't go in 04 to the parade. I remember the paper saying to me at the time, when I got home, you want to cover the parade? I'm like, what? Are you high? No. Go to hell. I'm not covering that stupid-ass parade. Have fun. And when my whole family get together, my sister has an apartment downtown. It was over the parade route. So they all went to my sister's on the balcony to watch the parade. I said, in cold, freezing weather? Go screw yourself. I'm going home. I'm taking a nap. I have wanted nothing to do with the parade. It is. It's a bunch of these jackasses out there on the street screaming and yelling like, yeah, there's Brazier. I see Brazier. Why is he tilting his head? How come Brazier's still tilting his head? Is something wrong with him? Oh, my God, there's Mookie. Hi, Mookie. Hi. Yeah, Sal. Yeah, you're the man. Sal, where's Evaldi? I want to yell to Evaldi. Oh, my God, I love Benintendi's hair. I love it. Look at his hair. He's so cute. He's got nice buns. I like Benintendi. Yeah, I want to party with Nunez. I think Nunez is smoking a cigar. Look at him. He's on the back there. See him? He's smoking a cigar. I want to party with Nunez. Oh, my God, JD's so handsome in person. Look at him. He's beautiful. Oh, my God, he's beautiful. I love him. Yeah, I hope they didn't invite Kimbrel. I don't want Kimbrel on the boats. Don't let the Kimbrel there. Or if they do, if they go into the child, someone should push him off the boat. Seriously. Oh, my God, where's Swihat? He's so cute. Please, go to hell with that. Go have your fun. Okay, I'm worried about how they're going to fit Sale on the roster next year.
Exactly. Right. If you're at the parade, don't call us. We don't want to hear your story.
I'm way, way ahead of you.
Call someone else and tell them your story. We don't do parades.
Yeah, why is Brazier tilting his head like that?
And you
think he's got a pinched nerve?
And the politicians should avoid it, too. You know, the owners and politicians, because, you know, the Werner sound is an all-timer, right? Let's go Red Sox. Like,
let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
That's the all-time best.
And I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
Go Red Sox.
With Dick Flavin there, too. It's the best.
So the guys that get into the sound that endures are owners or politicians. So I guess Charlie Baker was the jackass today. I heard some of this Charlie Baker.
Or Wiggy.
Charlie Baker. I'm here, Charlie Baker.
We are now honored to welcome the governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the Honorable Charlie Baker. Woo!
Oh, God.
Woo!
Wow.
That's, he never gets
can you
old.
You believe how much swag is out there? It's great. Never gets old.
Wow.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
That's just unbecoming. It's unbecoming of the governor.
It's like that guy in Vermont. What was his name? Remember him?
Yeah. No, yeah! Howard Dean.
Yeah, Howard Dean. That's right.
Man, that kind of scream can ruin a career.
No, that's...
That did to Howard Dean.
That's unbecoming of a governor. It's sort of like... So, like, that endures. Now, that's stuck to Charlie Baker. That is stuck to Charlie Baker, like... Let's go Red Sox is stuck to poor Tom Warner.
Oh, is it ever? Yeah, it's like Karen was goosing him up there or something. Woo!
Like, you know, but you're still not going to match, and it's endearing, right? Like, it's sweet now to look back at it. But our former, you know, dearly departed former mayor.
Oh, I love him. I loved Menino.
All-timer.
I loved him. He was a great guy.
I mean.
Authentic Bostonian. He was a real, I loved him.
But much like a cookie, I predict the Yankee dynasty will crumble. And the results will be delicious for Red Sox fans.
No, it's like it was written by our sales staff.
You just don't get better than that.
I know that's mean. I'm sorry.
To the sales staff, they're fine. Menino was the all-timer. Whether it was the parades or they would just be like unveilings or something, he would always do something. Like, give me another one, Jimmy, please. I just love them.
He was.
In Boston, we have an amazing set of remarkable athletes whose action in the moment have become ionic.
Ionic, like this Adam Scaletti.
Oh, right. I forgot about that one. Don't forget the one that, well, go ahead. I bet
they
you
become ionic.
Yeah, they were ionic.
In sports, Havlicek stole the ball, Fisk waving the ball fair, Flutie launched the Hail Mary pass, Veritek splitting the upright.
Veritek, yeah. Finitary, Veritek. We know what you meant.
It was close enough.
We know what you meant.
Yeah. There were some special ones.
Do you hear the governor on Machado today?
No, let's hear it.
Sunday night, Chris Sale strikes out Manny Machado, of all people. To end the World Series.
That was sweet! Sweet!
What was your reaction?
Well, we don't sit in our house. We stand and we pace. And when I saw Machado come up, and I saw the look on Chris Sale's face, my reaction was, I cannot think of a better guy to go down for out number three. It was awesome!
Jesus, he dropped the mic there?
Charlie. Yeah, he did it like he did the down to one knee strikeout.
Oh, I see. Had.
To end the World Series.
That was sweet! Sweet!
That's yeah, so honey, awkward.
I couldn't hear Governor Baker. What did he say?
All right, so you can keep your parade stuff. Keep it elsewhere. There's your...
To end the World Series.
Sweet! Sweet!
What was your reaction?
Well, we don't sit in our house. We stand and we pace.
Oh, wow. He's just like us.
Ooh, he's a badass.
Yeah. So there's your parade minute.
Sweet!
Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly. Talk about some Patriots items. Come up right after this. And who are we going to have sing Sunshine Day this week?
Well, I just got a request to sing it as a Batman villain Bane.
Sweet!
Yeah, on Twitter. So I'll dance for the people, it being Halloween and all.
Sweet!
This is one of the best voice impressions you'll ever hear. This is Murray doing Bane singing Sunshine Day.
I don't know how I'm going to do background on this one, but I'll figure it out.
Next level. I also have this giveaway. I'll do it after the update. No commercials.
Sweet! Duggar and Maz.
The Sports Hub.